I'm not going to try to upstage that, that's for sure. Yeah. If you'll turn in your Bible, the first thing that I want to start off with actually is the first slide. I got a few slides here that I want you to see. We're going to be talking about identified and what identified is all about. Before we do, and you notice they've got the cross up there, and within the there's some lettering in that cross that basically says these things. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to talk about identification and what it really means. It means our complete union with him. But now before we get talking about this idea of identification, that's a word that we really don't talk about a lot. What does it mean, identification? Put the first slide up there. Cute, very cute. Have you ever noticed how a little boy mimics his dad? We say words like, he's the spitting image of his father. Yeah. What we're actually talking about is identification. In that son, in his very genes, is imprinted who he is related to that father. We don't use the big term identification. When we're talking about identification with Christ, we're talking about the very same thing. Imprinted in our very spirit is the image and the likeness of God the Father. Put the next slide up there. Another cute one. Again, this is a picture of identification. And you know, some people, that's how they live. They got to have their boots on. You know, they're identified with something. We call it cowboy. I mean, I don't know what you want to call it. But that's their identification in life. Put the next one up. Put the next one up. I liked this one. Here's the father in his fatigues, the son in his fatigues. Yeah. The little boy is looking up to, the picture of who he is standing before him. This is the idea of identification. Now let me give you go ahead and put the next slide up. Now this picture was done in, well, William Adolphe Bergerot, I think I pronounced it properly, is the author of this picture, this painting, and he lived in the 1800s. I want to read something that I found about this particular picture. At first glance, the viewer may interpret this painting as simply the depiction of Christ on the cross with perhaps another saint or victim, a depiction not too different from thousands of other paintings. But the fact and the subject of this painting is not simply the event, but the conversion to Christianity. Because it was through compassion for the sacrifice Jesus made. The man with his head on Jesus' chest is a representation of every person on the face of this earth. The man in the painting shows the same empathy, bearing his own symbolic cross. He's found the way to Jesus. He's found redemption. Many of us wear crosses around our necks to represent the same kind of conviction. It's our identification. I remember some years ago, because I'm a quarter Cherokee, someone made the comment to me. There was a lot, especially in the Methodist movements, there was a lot of Cherokee Indians, and everything seemed to be going back to the spiritual roots of the Cherokee. And they asked me why I didn't identify with that. And I said, there's only two nations on this earth, to use that term. There's neither black nor white, nor yellow nor red. There's saved and there's unsaved. There's redeemed and those that need to be redeemed. Amen. That's the only two kinds of people since the cross that has been the case. that has been the case. And so I said to them, I don't identify any longer with who I am in the natural. My identification is in Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's the whole purpose for my living. Amen. Because I live, because he lives, I can live. Amen. And so getting back to this painting and this picture, I don't know, maybe you want to drop the lights down so they can see that just a little bit better. And this is not the whole picture. It is a whole picture of two men. And the blood of Christ, if you look at the picture, you'll see that the blood of Christ has fallen on the hands of that man beside Jesus, reiterating that it was the blood sacrifice, amen, that has saved us. We're identified in the fact that we're the reason he was crucified. We're identified in the fact that his blood was for us. Yeah. We know that Christ was crucified on top of a mountain, Golgotha. But Bergeron chooses to depict the Savior on a barren wasteland. You don't see the whole painting. I'm just telling you about it. It's symbolic of man's spiritual life before finding his way to Christ. Bergeron chose to keep his painting. He never sold this painting. This was in his home. This was in his home until the day he died, and just recently was moved to Paris, France, the gift of this painting to, I'm not sure what the name of the big one is there in France. But this is a picture of our identification, of your identification. And rather than just picturing Jesus, I'm pictured here. And you're pictured here. Now I want to give you another picture. Now we're talking about identification. It's something that's imprinted on the inside of us as Christians. Amen. Next picture, please. Now we see this as the baptism of Jesus. Our baptism, by the way, reminds us of the new birth, being born again. Jesus was raised from the dead. In this picture, Jesus is entering into his ministry of redemption for us. From the moment he walked away from that water, he walked in his ministry, which ultimately put him on the cross. It was his purpose to die for the sins of many. Amen. And then the next one. This is the picture of the risen Savior still in his ministry. See, you're the one he's putting the robe on. Now, we're looking at pictures. We're identifying with Christ. Again, what does it mean? It just means I died with Christ. I was identified with him when he was bruised. I was identified with him when he was made alive. I was sealed with him in the tomb. That big word, that big little word, it's a preposition with. It's the key that unlocks the truth that we're talking about in identification. The teaching of identification is the legal side of our redemption. It's the unveiling of what God did for us through Christ when he went to the cross and in the belly of the earth and was raised from the dead. Colossians 2 and 20 tells us that we were crucified with Christ. And then he tells us he died with Christ. And then he tells us he was buried with Christ. Then this whole key that unlocks this teaching identification is the word with. We were with him. This identification talks about the fact that he became as we were. I should think about that statement. He became as we were that we might become as he is now. He became one with us in death that we might be with him in life. There's a twofold oneness. First, it's he became one with us in our sin on the cross. And second, we became one with him in glory at the resurrection and at the right hand of God. We are seated with him, the scripture says. Ephesians 2 and 6, he raised him up and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he became as we were, so that we might become as he is. He died so that we might live. He was made sin so that we might be made righteous. He became weak so that we might have his strength. He suffered shame to give us his glory. He took our hell so that we could take his heaven. He was condemned in order to justify us. He was made sick that healing might be ours. Amen. He was cast out of the presence of God in order that we would be welcomed there. The fact of the identification is that it's one of the richest treasures that's in the Bible, that Jesus died and rose and lives for us. When Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ," he meant he was judged. He meant with Christ he was stripped naked and nailed to the cross. He meant, and see, the very thought of the crucifixion to the Jew, especially Pharisees, brought a great sense of shame and dishonor and horror. Yeah. And when Saul of Tarsus identified himself with this man Jesus and accepted him as Savior and confessed him as his Lord, at that moment he began crucified. He began to live the crucified life. Amen. The crucified life. He became an outcast. No wonder he said in Galatians 6 and 14, the world had been crucified unto him, and he had been crucified unto the world. It was the world that stripped Jesus. It was the world that stripped Paul. It was the world that stripped you. How can we play with an evil world when that's the very world that stripped us and crucified us together? Amen. Paul's remembering the stoning. The stonings left him unconscious. He remembers every place that he faced. He faced anger and bitterness and jealousy. He was suffering the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about being identified. Those were your sufferings as well. Yeah. We understand that crucifixion is more than just death. It meant union with Christ, his disgrace, and in his suffering. Amen. Romans says, knowing this, Romans 8 and 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. My old man, the person that I was crucified with Christ. Yeah, crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. Crucifixion points the way of death. And in the Holy Spirit's great argument for our identification with Christ, he said that our old man, the hidden man of the heart, our spirit, the real man, was filled with spiritual death, the satanic nature, and was nailed to the cross with Christ. And Jesus went there not as a martyr, but as a substitute. We were nailed to the cross with Christ. We were crucified with him. The object of the crucifixion in the mind of the mob was to get rid of the man that they hated. You know what? They still hate us. They still hate us. Every religion in America, every religion is celebrated in America except Christianity. They still hate us. In the mind of justice, it meant his identification with humanity and sin. It meant suffering. Our identification with him in his crucifixion reminds us that he took our sin, my sin. Amen. As soon as Christ was nailed on the cross with his crown of thorns and the howling mob surrounding him, justice began to do its terrible work in the scene. The sense knowledge men and women, the people that can only live by what they see and what they feel, could only see the physical man, Jesus, hanging on the cross. But God could see his spirit. God could see our spirit. Amen. demons could see the real man hidden in that body. And then came the dreadful hour when in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, him that knew no sin, he made sin. He made Jesus to be sin. I want to say it again. He made Jesus to be my sin. Amen. Amen. That we might have his righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's not one of us that's done it the right way. We can't point our fingers and look down at anybody. We're all in the same place. At the foot of the cross, we're all at the same place. Isn't that right? Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, Jehovah, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On that awful cross, Jesus became sin. He took my curse. He took my curse. I'm going to say it again. He took my curse. Yeah. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He came to redeem me, to redeem us from the curse of the broken law. And when he was hanging on the... Here's the point, folks. You talk to anybody about church. I can't... They think they got to get perfect to come to church. You can't be made perfect from the broken law without the blood of Jesus. No, we come to Jesus to get perfected. That's the only perfection we'll ever see. That's right. It's the only perfection we'll ever see. We run to Jesus to get our imperfections dealt with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. He came to redeem us from the curse of the broken law. When he was hanging on the cross, he was not only sin, but he was accursed. Is there any wonder why he called out and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had taken the sinner's place in judgment. He took my place in judgment. Amen. He was my sin substitute, your sin substitute. Amen. Sin was not reckoned to him. It was not set on his account. He became sin. He became sin. It's hard for us to grasp the fact. Only our spirits can fathom the fact and the agony of it. I can hear Paul in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I'm telling you, the only strength that we'll ever receive, the only grace we'll ever receive, the only glory we'll ever receive, comes by knowing and understanding this fact that Jesus took our place. And Paul is praying about this fellowship of suffering. Paul couldn't do that. No one could. No angel could do it. It was God's work. When Jesus was hung on the cross, when he surrendered his son to death, it's there that God unveiled his great love that's beyond our understanding, that someone so perfect and so loved would die for someone so imperfect and so unlovely. Yeah. And then the next step, he was made sick. Isaiah 53 tells us he was despised and rejected of men, a man of pains, acquainted with sickness, and as one with whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our diseases, and yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. It wasn't what the Roman soldiers did, nor what the angry mob did. It was he was stricken and smitten of God. With our diseases. Yeah. Our diseases and sickness. The diseases and the sickness of the whole human race. Verse 10 says in Isaiah 53, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath made him sick. He was not only made sin and separated from the Father. When he was separated from the Father, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the diseases of the whole human race fell on him. Isaiah 52:14 speaks these words, just as many were amazed over him, and the princes on his account shuddered and were astonished and appalled and amazed and frightened, his visage was so marred, unlike to a man, and his form unlike the sons of man, so deformed was his appearance not to be a man, and his figure no longer resembled a man. Now I'm reading from the cross-reference Bible. This was spiritual suffering. This was the hidden man of the heart becoming not only sin but sickness. The spiritual side of the agony of the cross was that when our sin and our disease were laid upon him, Jesus was made and suffered for sin. It's hard for us to take it in. We were identified with him on the cross. And if our heart could only take it in that he was made sin and we were identified with him on the cross, we could grasp the reality of his substitutionary work. The truth has been a doctrine for years instead of a reality. Yeah. And don't ever think for a minute that doctrine's not important. But if it's only here, it's not life-giving to you. It's got to be here. Yeah. He was identified with me. I'm proud to be identified with him. Yeah. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. One has to do with heart. The other has to do with intellect. Yeah. The whole man was involved in this sacrifice. Spirit, soul, and body. We were nailed with him. Amen. Our diseases were a part of him. And when we recognize it, the end of dominion of sin and disease, it's done in our life. We don't treat it like everybody else in this world. We treat it with the Word of God. Amen. It's true we have mortal bodies, but this mortality is filled with the life of God. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Swallowed up of life. That's just not a scripture that you share at a burial. It's a resurrection scripture that we put deep within us, that from the time that I've confessed Jesus till the time that I fly, life is swallowing up all the death in Kenny Young. Life is putting out death in Kenny Young. I'm getting stronger the older I get. Amen. I'm getting wiser the older I get. Yeah. I'm getting cleaner the older I get. Yeah. As I walk with Jesus, I'm getting prettier and I'm getting better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 8 and 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Literally, sin shall not lord it over you. Now we see now that Satan has lost his dominion. And sickness has a root in the spirit. It's manifested in our physical bodies, but it has a root in our spirit. God sees sickness in our spirit. Sickness is a spiritual condition manifest in a physical body. And God heals us with spirit, his word. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. Yeah. It's that word that heals our spirits. It's that word that recreates us. It's that word that produces faith when there was once fear. Amen. It's that word that unveils to us what we really are, who we really are in Christ. New creations. It's that word that brings healing to our life and to our spirit. If he was made sin, and if he put our sin away, we need not be ruled by it. If he was made sick, amen, with our sickness, and if he's put disease away, we need not be ruled by sickness and disease. Amen. And when we recognize this, we no longer struggle for faith. We no longer struggle asking the question, where is God when sickness comes on our body? We know God's already judged it all and placed it on Jesus. Amen. We'll no longer struggle for faith, for righteousness or holiness, because we know that we were nailed to the cross with Christ. We were buried with Him. We suffered with Him. And we were made alive with Him. And we conquered Satan with Him. And we were raised with Him. Amen. And we are seated right now with Him. In the mind of God, we are seated with our representative at the right hand of God. Where's he at? At the right hand of God. Why are you so shy then to come into the throne of God? Why don't you have the attitude? Why don't you have the attitude? I'm seated with him now. This is my home. This is where I live. And just go right into the throne of God and talk to God about the issues that you have right now. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, may blessing, praise, laudation, eulogy be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us with Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Praise the Lord. We're identified with Christ. Show that picture again of that cross. Mr. Bergeron, is that how you pronounce that? Next one, there you go. There it is. With him. I am with him. Now here's a picture of him and his suffering. Show the next picture. And here's the picture of us and him in newness of life. And show the next picture. And here's the picture of us in heaven. Identified. Say identified. Say I'm identified with Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. He was made alive for me. He seats at the right hand of God for me. Yeah, I identify with that. Amen. I deal with this life in a new way. A new faith, a new confidence, a new boldness. Because of my identification with Christ. And the more you understand of your identification with Christ, the stronger and the bolder you will be. Yeah. In Isaiah 53 and 9, it talks about, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Two aspects about Jesus' death. The first aspect is the natural side of life. There was a spiritual side. There was a natural side. Jesus became what we were. He that knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. I don't know if you realize it, on the natural side of it, Jesus had a body like Adam. He was the second Adam. Everyone say second Adam. Now what that meant was, in his physical side, he was perfect in every way. I don't think he needed scope. Someone said, "Ah, no, I'm telling you. He was the second Adam, perfect in every way. Sin had not touched him. He was the only perfect human being on the face of the earth." Yeah. And he became sin. It wasn't his sin. It was my sin. And it was your sin. Yeah. Yeah. And until he took on my sin, it was impossible for him to die. The God-man. And speaking of the natural side, we see him nailed to the cross. We see his back bloodied. This is physical suffering. And in this we see the human race died with the crucified one. Paul says, if we died with Christ and we believe, we shall also live with him. These scriptures, we notice that we died with Christ when he died. He was our substitute. We were with him on the cross. We were one with him in his death. He died in our place, in our stead. He took our judgment. He died and he was made sin. Amen. He accepted our sin. And if we accept him in his death, burial, and resurrection, there can be no judgment for us. I don't know if you've thought about that. Why are you minding sin when it appears in your life? Sin has been dealt with. Don't act like the rest of the world when they talk about their sin. Maybe they belittle it. Maybe they're running from it. We come to Jesus. The moment we ask Him to forgive us, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We can live on this earth just as if sin never existed in our life. Yeah. I'm not afraid to meet God. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not afraid to meet God. I meet Him every morning. I talk to Him every night. I'm not afraid to meet Him. Amen. There's no fear in the presence of God for me. I run to Him when I miss it, and He cleanses me. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. Yeah. Isaiah 53. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, 10 and 12. It pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He has made him sick. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant justify many? Are you one of the many? Yeah. And he shall bear their iniquities. Were you the one that was there at the cross when Jesus died? Were you there? Yeah. Therefore I will divide with him a spoil with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. I'm one of those strong. Yeah. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now in the New Testament we have, theologically speaking, the Pauline revelations. Now the Pauline revelations may not seem too big of a deal to you, but the Pauline revelations is the unveiling of what happened to Jesus from the cross to the throne and until he sat down at the right hand. Amen. It deals with what that means to us. It's called the Pauline revelation. We read them and not even realize what we're reading a lot of times. For example, him who knew no sin, he became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He became one with us, weak like us, weak in sin and in disease and in spiritual death, that he might make us one with himself in righteousness and perfect health and in fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Amen. He became death's prisoner in order to set us free. In the mind of judgment, we died to sin. And we died to its dominion. Amen. When we died with Christ, there was God in God. God's mind in the crucifixion was a perfect oneness with Christ in us. And in the resurrection and the new birth, a perfect oneness in Christ. Just as Jesus submitted to death, by submitting to it, we in the new creation conquered Satan by submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. Yeah, we overcome the world and the flesh and the world, the flesh, the devil, by our faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We're healed by becoming partakers of His divine nature. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. This is our identification, our oneness with Him in sin and judgment. Amen. That we, having died unto sins, His death and our death are identical. This is not talking about physical death. This is spiritual. He took our spiritual condition, and we were one with Him in that judgment, that we might live unto righteousness, or that we might partake of His righteousness. And as He partook of our sins, we're to partake of His righteousness. As He became one with our sins, we became one with Him in righteousness. Amen. He took our diseases, the Scripture says, and He put them away. By His stripes, we are healed. Amen. And as He put our sin and disease away by becoming sin and disease for us, so we partake of His righteousness and healing. Praise the Lord. Christ has died once and for all as our substitute. He in judgment met the demands of justice for you and for me. Amen. God's not mad at you anymore. Amen. He loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How can we live like He's mad at us? Yeah. God loves us. Say it out loud. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells us so. Amen. What's declared in the middle of this resurrection, death, and burial of Jesus? What's being declared? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Quit living like He's mad at you. Quit looking for something that's to come down the way. You know, the old song that I used to say it was Reba McEntire. It wasn't Reba McEntire. It was one of the earlier ones. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. No. No, Jesus died on the cross for that. And He was raised from the dead for that. Amen. No, we need to be singing a new song. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm talking about our identification. Put the picture of the little boy following the father and the grandfather. Put that picture. There you go. Yeah. Identification. Who are you following? In your life, who are you following? Yeah. What are you identifying with? Are you identifying with your sins that were already hung on the cross and dismissed? Or are you identifying with the risen Savior? Amen. Who's far above all principality, powers, might, and dominion. He's seated at the right hand of God for us. He's identifying with us. Amen. What are you identifying with? Who are you following? Amen. See, when He was buried, we were buried with Him. We're talking about our identification with what He did. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We've read these words and we just let them go from one ear to the other without seeing what and understanding what God has done for us. Acts 2:24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning Him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with Thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Yeah. When the disciples took the body of Jesus down from the cross and embalmed it and laid it in Joseph's tomb, how little they appreciated what was going on, even as they were laying his body in that tomb. How little they appreciated where Jesus was and what he was doing. They laid the body in the tomb. The Roman governor sealed it, and the guards kept watch of it. But the point was that he went into the belly of the earth for you and for me. Yeah, amen. Yeah. God had forsaken him because God was judging him. It was my sin that was laid upon him. And at that moment, you heard the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was going on? Wasn't this the one? Wasn't this the one? The Christ, the Son of the living God? Yeah. But he bore my sin away. Yeah. They had thought that he was the one that was going to redeem it, was going to redeem Israel. And 3 days and three nights, the Lamb of God was our substitute in hell, taking my place and taking your place. Folks, don't ever play with sin. Yeah. Sin has been judged. Don't ever play with sin. It's not something to be playing with. It's something that put Jesus in hell as our substitute. Amen. There he had pains, diseases. He had sins and iniquities placed on him. And he was judged. And he was waiting until the claims of justice were fully met. Such an hour had never been, nor ever will be again. There had to be an adequate meeting of the penalty of transgression, the transgression of the whole human race. And Jesus endured it all in the place of humanity. It was Jesus in his spirit. It was Jesus in his spirit that dealt with that judgment. Amen. Psalms 88 says this, verse 7. These are pictures for us to help us understand what Jesus went through. Thy wrath lieth hard on me. The seventh verse, Psalm 88. Thy wrath lieth hard on me. Thy wrath presses. Thou hast laid thy fury on me. All thy breakers thou hast brought upon me. Thou hast let all thy waves strike me. Thou hast let come all the breakers upon me. I've called upon thee, my God, day and night, and thou hearest me not. The third verse says, full of trouble, weighted with sin. This is the picture. This is the picture of what Jesus did in the belly of the earth. Full of trouble, weighted with evils. Thou hast brought me to Sheol, the kingdom of death. And I've become a man without God. I've become a man without God. 15th verse. While distracted, I endure. I'm brought low. I'm turned backwards. I have borne thy terrors so that I am distracted and helpless. Don't play with sin. Folks, don't play with sin. Run to God and get cleansed and go on in his righteousness. But don't stay and play in sin. Here we come to the most remarkable part of the sufferings of Christ. He cried, "Will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall they that are deceased arise and praise thee?" So down there in that awful place, God is going to show his wonders. Yeah. It was there that his power was first displayed. He let them see the awfulness of sin and the absolute justice of God. And here the love of God was displayed. More than that, it showed the kindness of God. Shall thy loving kindness be shown in the great, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be shown in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? They saw Jesus made with my sin. And all of a sudden now he's made righteous. He was made righteous before them. Yeah. Jesus received righteousness. Now remember, all that he didn't do for himself. He was already righteous. But he took my sin. Yeah. And so in the belly of Sheol, suffering for the judgment that I should have suffered, all of a sudden he's declared righteous. And when he was declared righteous, I was declared righteous. You were declared righteous. Amen. In seeing him made righteous, Satan witnessed the fact that righteousness was now possible for the whole new creation. Yeah. Christ was made alive right there in the realm of death. He's called the firstborn of the dead. God said, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." What in the world is going on? He's the only begotten Son of God. But yet he took my sin. He suffered my penalty. And now in being raised from the dead, he's representative of you being raised and me being raised. Amen. He's fully identified with you, brothers and sisters. Yeah. The host of hell saw him born out of death and witnessed the triumph of God and the glory of God right there in the belly of the earth. Amen. So we got here a graphic picture of what Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and his sufferings. Amen. They saw him strip Satan of his authority and dominion right there in the belly of the earth. A man stripped Satan of his authority. The man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians 2 and 13 says, "And you, being dead through your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive." I love that. "You, I say, did he make alive with him." I remember working on that little building, on the front of that building there, and someone came out of Jack's Tavern there, someone that I had known, an old family friend. He said, he came out of Jack's Tavern, he said, "Kenny, would I be welcome in your church?" His name was Kenny. I said, "Oh yeah, Kenny. You'd be most welcome in my church." He'd say, "Well, you know, the walls might fall down." He's talking about his sin. I'm talking about his resurrected Savior. I'm talking about the one who was made alive and gave him the ability to change his spots. Yeah, new life. "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together," Ephesians 2 and 5. Isn't that something? This is the heart of our redemption, made alive. Now, you might not have wanted to see Greg before he was made alive. I'll guarantee you, Greg now is not the same Greg. Yeah. Amen. And you might not have wanted to see Jerry Allen before he was made alive. But I can guarantee you right now, he's 1,000 times prettier, Mallory says, praise God, than he was before. Made alive. We were made alive with him. Romans 6 and 5 says, "For if we've become united with him in his likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul gave us Colossians 1 and 18. "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." Yeah. Praise God. Alive. When he was made alive in the belly of the earth, we were made alive. In the mind of God, from the foundations of the earth, God set this up. That he was to pay the price of the world's sins. I don't know if you've thought about it much. God is a faith God. Did you know that? He's a faith God. He counts things that be not as though they were. And down there in the belly of hell, he counted us righteous. He counted us alive. He counted us new creations. His sons and daughters before the day of Pentecost came and the first contingent of the body of Christ came into being, he was counting us alive in Christ. He counts the things that be not as though they were, and they become. I like that becoming. We're living in the becoming part of it. Amen. The moment we accepted him as our Savior, this new birth became a reality in us. This new righteousness became a reality of us. This new faith became a reality of us. Amen. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but he was made alive, that when he was made alive, we were made alive with him in the mind of judgment. The moment that he was made alive, God justified him. The moment he was made alive, we were justified with him. He was declared righteous because he had satisfied the claims of justice. He'd met every demand that the Supreme Court of the universe had made against the human race. Amen. He was made righteous with the life of God, as we're made righteous in the new life. Yeah. He was made so righteous that there was not a trace of sin and the disease that he bore. It had all been put away. That awful judgment, it had all been finished. Amen. He was so righteous that Jesus could enter the presence of the Father with no sense of sin or inferiority. I'm going to tell you, because you're in Christ, you can enter into the presence of the Father with no sense of sin or inferiority. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he did on the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. He stood before the angelic host as a righteous and as pure as though he had never been made sin. And the moment that he was made righteous, he was the absolute monarch of the universe. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Master of this world and the world to come. Praise the Lord. Amen. He became the dominant master and ruler of hell. He was made righteous, and then all of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, every one of us that confess him as our Lord has received his eternal life, and we're automatically made righteous with him. Amen. That same eternal life and nature of God that came into Jesus is the same eternal life that comes into you the moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Man, I like that. Identified. Put that last picture back up. Identified with the resurrected Jesus. Identified. Yeah. You know, when you get to heaven, you're not going to need to worry. I hope I never did anything wrong. I hope everything is clean. Just come to Jesus. Amen. Just come to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's a picture of you and me right there. Amen. It was our redemption, brothers and sisters. Our redemption. We were crucified with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. We suffered with him. We were justified with him. We were made alive with him. We conquered Satan with him. We were raised together with him. Praise the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is proof of our victory. It's not your work. This is the amazing grace of God. It's not how good you are. It's how perfect the salvation of Jesus is. Amen. In the mind of the Father, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his Son. Praise the Lord. God has lifted every believer above all rule and authority and power and dominion, not only in this age, but that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under the believer's feet. He gave Christ, who is the head of the body, to be master over all the forces of the universe. Jesus gave to the believer the legal right to use his name. He actually gave him the power of attorney. so that at the name of Jesus, every demon and every power should obey that name in the lips of the believer. Yeah. There isn't anything too hard for God. God's ability is the ability that he gives to us. And so his resurrection is proof of our right to reign over Satan and over this life as kings. Amen. And so the last question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus did was for you at the cross? Do you believe what Jesus did for you in his death and burial? Did he do it for you? Do you believe what Jesus did was for you when he was raised from the dead? Do you believe that what Jesus did was for you when he was seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe this?